So just to go back to what the sort of translational parameters were that caused you to think that she would not respond that well at oxali and would respond to irinotecan, what fraction of tumors that you test are like hers? Is she like one in 1,000, one in 10? I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, so that's a very good question because the classification of these two markers, because we are now at the moment in the process of doing prospective clinical trials using these markers within SWOG. So we had to go through all the separation and the frequency of high and low. So we know that about 25 to 30% of patients are low in TS and low in ESCC1. Now, interestingly enough, when we did our analysis with these markers, they seem to travel along each other. So, in other words, what we see in the clinic happens molecular-wise. When somebody is highly resistant to one drug, it's more likely to resistant to the other. That seems to be the case for these two markers. So patients who have high levels of either one of the genes have a higher chance to have another elevation of the other gene. So about 25 to 30 have low, which are great candidates for FOLFOX. The others, either one or both genes are high.
And what fraction of tumors were similar to hers, I guess, in terms of the quantity? You talked about it being off the charts or whatever.
So her level of iESCC1 was very high. So when you would compare it to all levels we measured in the maybe 2,000 plus patients, she would be in the top 10% of increased levels.
Although the kind of response she seems to be having, you wouldn't say you see in 10% of people.
No. This only means they're very high. So,
Right.
but the interesting thing is what we have seen in a smaller study. It seems like in a FOLFIRI study we did, only 40, 45 patients, that patients with high ESCC1 did significantly better with FOLFIRI than patients with low. Now, this is not a direct mechanism, but you can imagine a tumor cell in completely disarray and chaos with upregulation of DNA repair has usually also DNA replication going on and expression levels of TOPO1, which is very high. So I think there may be a reason they may be more sensitive to a TOPO1 inhibitor.
So you're going to tell me that she finished six cycles of treatment and she's still free of disease a year later. That's my guess.
Well, she's in the middle of the adjuvant treatment for the second round because the
Okay.
surgery was about 4 or 5 months ago.
So hopefully you'll tell me that in 6 months or a
You
year.
know, I think the fact that it took about a year to come back with one lesion, I think signals that actually there was a resistant clone, which we couldn't get. We knew that in this, we could not resect all the areas with lesions known and seen. I think this patient also really gives us a good example that in some patients with liver-limiting disease, we may have to plan a two-stage surgery. And I think this is just an example because with a liver resection, what happens in the liver regeneration, you create an incredible growing environment, not only for the normal liver, but also for any tumor cells behind. So you have increased nutrition, growth factors, hormones, and if there is a cell surviving, it starts growing and grows very fast. And you know and identify with a resection where your resistant clone may hide.
So, people come in every 3 or 4 years for a little nip and tuck in their liver. Is that what we're going to be
No,
having?
I think most of these will probably come back within the first 2 years. That's the nice thing about colon cancer, which is completely different to lung or breast. We can cure the patients in a time frame of 5 years. You cannot do that for lung or breast.